We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Always a highlight, our weekly interview with Ray Fittipaldo. Everybody loves Raymond. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Rowdy Tellez coming up in the noon hour. Very much looking forward to that. But first, Ray, I trust that you're well, and I wanted to ask you about a question in your chat this week. Somebody said, and I like their Twitter handle here, he hate me. I'm hearing we might trade for Treylon Burks. What do you say to that?
Listen, Treylon Burks is a former first-round pick of the Titans. The Steelers love reclamation products. That seems to be kind of a pet project for Mike Tomlin over the years. A lot of times those guys don't work out, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Steelers took a flyer on a guy like that. I wouldn't give up much for him. I think a guy like that, when you look at his production last year, Joe, I think 16 catches, 222 yards. I think he missed six or seven games due to injury. So, you know, you're probably like talking about giving up a sixth or a seventh round pick. I mean, if that's the price, why not? I mean, you're collecting guys of that ilk anyway. Why not see if a former first round pick can benefit from a change of scenery?
Ray, another question stood out to me by somebody named Joe Friday, and he wonders about Pickens as a legit number one wide receiver. What constitutes a legit number one, and can Pickens be that, Ray, this season?
I think first and foremost, you have to trust the guy in all situations, Joe. You know, George Pickens had over 1,000 yards last year, by far his most productive season. I would expect him to go above and beyond that this year, especially since Deontay Johnson isn't going to eat up a lot of his targets. But to me, I think you have to be a team player. You got to be willing to block. You got to be good in the locker room. You got to be a leader. I think all those things factor into being a number one guy. But if you just want to talk about production, I mean, I could easily see George Pickens having 70 catches for 1,300 yards this year. Does that mean he's a legit number one? I don't know, but it probably makes him the Steelers' number one, especially if they don't make a move for one of these big-name receivers on the trade market anytime soon.
Will they?
Well, we saw earlier this week that Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers had a meeting. It was characterized as a good meeting. I think Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network reported there's probably not going to be a whole lot that goes on between now and the start of training camp. So I've said this all along, Joe. I think it's a waiting game for Omar Khan. I think they're going to wait to see how that situation unfolds in San Francisco, and then they'll go from there. Maybe it ends up being another receiver if Ayuk gets a deal done with San Francisco, or if San Francisco decides, okay, we're just going to let this play out this year. He's going to be on our team in 2024, but we're going to let him become a free agent. So they control the entire situation, the 49ers and Ayuk. All the Steelers can do is sit back, and if there's an opportunity, they got to be ready to pounce when that comes.
Ron in Cooks Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Posey, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub.
Did you happen to hear that live, Ray? An unbelievable call from Ron in Cooks Forest to Matt Cole's show on Saturday?
I did not hear that, but you guys are good with cutting up those those various calls.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Also, I may be headed into a legal battle with the town of Sewickley. Oh, there you are on the screen. I didn't even notice that. 93.7 The Fan. Are you wearing a soccer shirt?
My brother-in-law married a gal from Melbourne. Mm-hmm. So when he went there for the first time, he picked me. They're called the Socceroos. So, yeah.
Wow.
Pink Australia national team.
That's impressive. Well, yeah. The town of Sewickley, I may, yes, engage them in a legal battle over a parking meter situation this morning where I tried to put my credit card in. You know how it used to be, Ray? You put a quarter in and then you move along with your day. Now you got to practically enter your, you know, birth certificate into the parking meter to get the damn thing to go. So they wanted all the usual stuff and then my credit card, and it said unreadable. I put it in a bunch of different ways, still unreadable. I said, forget this. I'm going to the coffee shop. I come back. There's a ticket. Who's right and who's wrong here? And my credit card was working and I can prove it. Because they took it at the coffee shop and they took it at the Rite Aid right there. So I can prove that it was their problem, not mine.
Is there an option to put coins or cash in?
Yeah, but who carries quarters anymore?
Yeah, who carries cash anymore? I'm with you.
That was actually a key question by Ray there that I'm sure the judge would ask me or the attorney, right?
I would still sue the hell out of him, Joe.
I would do that too. I carry a little bit of cash, not too much.
Would you pay the ticket, Ray? Or would you feel like you've been wronged here? That's A. And B, what do you think about the so-called advancements in parking meters and what we all have to endure just to park?
Yeah, I mean, Sewickley doesn't need your money, so I definitely wouldn't pay it. You know, we were parking for the Steelers. They had construction going on during OTAs and minicamp, so we were parking down by the Cheesecake Factory. All you got to do down there, enter your information once. Then the subsequent times you go into that garage, all you have to do is just drive in. They have your plate. They bill you. It's the easiest thing in the world. So maybe we can get to that point with parking meters too.
I'd like to see that. The more progress we make, the less sense it seems to make. Anyway, somebody else on your mailbag. TVC15. This was actually good. He brought up the common refrain that if the Steelers ever fired Tomlin, who could they hire? He said, here are some of the coaches who have been hired since the Steelers last appeared in the Super Bowl against the Packers, since which they have 3 playoff wins in 14 years. Here are the NFL head coaches hired since 2010. Andy Reid, Chiefs; McDermott, Bills; McVay, Rams; Shanahan, Niners; LaFleur, Packers; Taylor, Bengals; McCarthy, Cowboys; Stefanski, Browns; and Campbell, Lions. So I guess there have been some guys out there, Ray, who might have made pretty good coaches, or who still would. There's lots of them out there. Or you could hire the next Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Joe. It's almost like people believe the Steelers are not confident that they could find the next Mike Tomlin, but they've been so good at it over the years. I think Chuck Knoll was hired. He was 38 years old. I know he wasn't an unknown assistant coach, but you know, he wasn't probably the pick of the litter that year in 1969. Who knew who Bill Cowher was in 1992? And you can go back to Mike Tomlin too. Mike Tomlin was a defensive coordinator for 1 year before he got the head coaching job here. So, I mean, I'm with you. Of all those coaches, here's a little debate. Of all those coaches you rattled off there, are there any you wouldn't want? I know there's a couple I wouldn't want, but most of those guys, especially Campbell recently, I think all those guys would be good options, you know, if the Steelers ever did decide to move on, or if Mike Tomlin ever decided to move on.
Okay, I like that. I like
the coach.
Yeah, I like that question. Reid, McDermott, McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur, Taylor, McCarthy, Stefanski, Campbell. Who would I not want?
Yeah.
I'm not a giant fan of McDermott, but he's won a lot of playoff games lately. He just can't seem to finish the deal. And then after that, you know, McCarthy has a very similar resume to Tomlin, and he's the guy who beat him in that Super Bowl. And then Stefanski, he has one playoff win, but it's against the Steelers, right? So,
yeah,
maybe those guys.
And he was in his basement.
Oh yeah, he didn't even beat them. He was watching from his basement. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Joe, it's Stefanski and it's McDermott, and I get that McDermott has been a good regular season coach, but he just doesn't strike me as a guy that you can win a Super Bowl with. So I'm with you on those two guys. And McCarthy, I don't know if it's because he's from Pittsburgh, but that guy has a much longer resume of success than McDermott or Stefanski. So I'd probably lean towards taking him, I think.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. It's just interesting that two of the guys that we mentioned, Stefanski and McDermott, have both beaten Tomlin in playoff games lately. So yeah. I don't know. The thing is, we don't have to worry about this anymore because, as Jerry Dulac wrote the day it happened, this latest extension is just the clearest sign yet that Mike Tomlin's here for life. There's almost no point in debating that anymore. He's here until he doesn't want to be here.
I agree with you. I mean, that was signaled when they gave him the 3-year extension, basically a 4-year contract, rather than, going 1 to 2 years. I mean, I think Jerry's right. As long as Mike Tomlin is motivated to be this team's football coach, I think the Rooney family will have him. You never hear a bad word on the record or off the record coming from that front office when it comes to Mike Tomlin. Not once.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us here. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And the Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Real Estate. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. I wonder if you agree with me on this, Ray. Mike Tomlin's strengths and weaknesses. Strengths, highly intelligent, highly passionate football coach who I think could walk into any room and do some good coaching with his team. I think big weakness here is his, I don't know if you want to say he probably got too powerful, but his hirings, his personnel decisions, some of the draft decisions, certainly some of the assistant coaching decisions have really hamstrung him. Game day coach, I don't think he's great at that. I don't think he's horrible at that. But those would be my strengths and weaknesses with Tomlin, and I'm hoping that some of the weaknesses there with personnel decisions have maybe been mitigated a little bit with the appearance of Andy Weidel and Omar Khan. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think when you look at Tomlin's strengths, and Art Rooney has said this on the record, he really likes the way that he relates to players. You don't necessarily have to call Mike Tomlin a player's coach, but all of the players that come in here respect him. At least 90% of them do. And, he has an innate ability to get the most out of guys. So I think we should add that to his strengths. In terms of the weaknesses, I never thought that when he hired Matt Canada, and that tenure for 2.5 seasons went the way it did, I would have bet my house that mistake would have cost Tomlin his job or close to it. And here he's got a 4-year contract after Matt Canada is let go late in the season.
Well, I would include Pickett with that. Ray, for me, Pickett was a 1,000% Tomlin pick. There's no way Kevin Colbert goes out the door and says, "Oh, by the way, Mike, here's your franchise quarterback for the rest of your maybe the rest of your tenure here in Pittsburgh." So the failures of Pickett in Canada, they're both gone, and he gets signed to a 3-year extension.
But here's the difference between Pickett and Canada: Mike Tomlin handpicks his staff. There's no intervention from the front office or ownership when it comes to him hiring assistant coaches. The draft thing, I understand Mike Tomlin has more of a say in that than other head coaches do, but Kevin Colbert ultimately, Art Rooney ultimately, they're all in on that decision, especially for a number one pick. So that's a small difference there. But Mike Tomlin watched that kid grow up. He thought he could help this team. And, it turns out that, He wasn't ready for that. But I would say when you're looking at Mike Tomlin transgressions, I put Canada at the top of the list, and I put Pickett probably a notch or two down there.
How does the Cam Hayward situation play out on day one of camp and onward, Ray?
I think day one of camp, I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Hayward reports but does not practice and stages a hold in. It will be interesting to see how that plays out, because I'm not convinced the Steelers would be in any hurry to get a deal done, stretching all the way to the regular season. So when I asked Cam about that, I think it was early June, he said he hadn't thought that far ahead. But if you look at some of the successful ways that guys have leveraged contracts for the Steelers in recent years, Deontay Johnson for one, T.J. Watt for another, I think Cam Hayward can go that route. I'm just not convinced that the Steelers would give in and give him a contract before the start of the season.
And the quarterback situation's the obvious biggest story on day one of camp. Is it simply Russell Wilson is unchallenged, or is there going to be an actual battle here? Or is it more of a Mitch Trubisky situation from a few years ago where they pretend it's a battle?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are probably more legitimate camp battles. You know, you got the situation with Faiutanu and Dan Moore. You got Zach Frazier and Nate Herbig. You got the receiver thing. But all the fans really care about is the quarterbacks. And I don't want to disappoint them, but I think Russell Wilson would have to be well below average, both in practices and the preseason games, for him to lose that job. And just when I look at it, I think Russell Wilson's going to be the starter, but look at how the Trubisky thing unfolded. Mike Tomlin was not happy after a month. He made the move. Listen, if Russell Wilson struggles for whatever reason, 4 games into the season, 6 games, 8 games into the season, they do have a viable option if they want to spark this team. But I've said this before, everything is set up for Russell Wilson to have success. The schedule is easier early than it is later. So if he can just get off to a decent start, you know, 6-3, 7-2, give himself a chance, I think he'll be just fine, and he'll be the starter for the balance of the season.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Paul, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
We actually shoot back a little bit. Now we're the playground bully. Get a life. I don't think you got the message.
I did get the message. All I asked was, can I engage Ray in a game of free association? I innocently asked Paul a question, and the guy snaps on me, city limit.
Your ass in the gutter.
What'd he say?
I found your ass in the gutter with nothing. I'm leaving your ass in the gutter with nothing.
Ray, Paul obviously not here today, so that was sort of a tribute to him. Yes?
Absolutely. Next time I'm on, have Austin queue up some old Ron Cook audio as well.
Next time you're on, your wish is city limits is command here. From your lips to
There's the one. That's the one I love.
Ray, when I hear the laugh, I think of a disembodied Ron Cook, just the head laughing in some horror movie where that, yeah.
I don't know. Are you guys familiar with Laughing Sal at Kennywood?
Yes.
That's what it reminds me of. It's like that 1920s, 1930s, whatever you call that stuff you see at circuses and amusement parks.
Yeah, well, that's when Ron broke into the business, so maybe there's a connection there. Maybe he had the first interview with Sal.
Laughing Sal.
Laughing Sal. And Ron in a one-on-one. All right. May I engage you, Ray, in a game of free association?
Yeah, let's do it.
Mitch Morse said in a podcast that it was down to Jacksonville and the Steelers, and he basically chose Jacksonville because of the weather, because of the quarterback and the coach. Hey, he was very complimentary of all those things with the Steelers, but do you blame him for his decision?
No, I mean, listen, they got a Super Bowl winning coach. They got an up and coming quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. I don't know about the weather. I mean, I don't know, unless he has a wife he wants to please, who's worried about weather if you really want to win football games. But heck, after being in Western New York, who doesn't want to go to South Florida or North Florida rather than Western Pennsylvania?
Zach Frazier's going to obviously start on day one.
I don't know if it's going to be obvious. They're going to make him earn it. But, yes, I do suspect he looks the part, Joe. When I look at him, as long as he performs well in camp, yeah, I think he'll be the starter.
Ray, I would say that your answers are too long, but I wouldn't want to insult you. Come on, we've been all doing right. this for a long time.
All right, I'll do better. I'll
okay.
do better.
Cordarrelle Patterson will have a bigger role than just kick return guy.
Yes.
The kick return thing is way overrated. All kickers are going to do is still blast it out of the end zone because it's only a 5-yard difference from last year.
No, it's a bigger deal than that.
Very interesting. Van Jefferson will open as the number 2 receiver.
Yes.
On the first 3rd and 11 of the year when they have 3 or 4 receivers out there, Roman Wilson will be one of them.
Yes.
Scotty Miller will have a great training camp.
Yes.
Broderick Jones will be your opening day left tackle.
Yes.
Fotana will be your opening day right tackle.
Correct.
Najee Harris is about to sign, maybe by the end of camp, a multi-year deal with the Steelers.
No.
This is Najee's last year with the Steelers.
Yes.
Najee will have more touches than Jaylen Warren.
Not convinced of that.
Najee will sign a contract better than Ramondre Stevenson just got with some other team.
No.
Larry Ogunjobi was a bad contract.
Yes.
Keanu Benton will make the Pro Bowl.
I'll say no, but that could be coming.
Cam Hayward will have a new deal by the end of camp.
No.
TJ Watt will break the all-time sack record.
No.
Patrick Queen will become a star.
No.
Alex Highsmith will have over 14.5 sacks.
No.
Who's going to be the other best corner besides Joey Porter, regardless of whether it's slot or the outside?
I'll go Cam Sutton.
Cameron Johnston will be a major, minor, or no upgrade on Presley Harvin.
I'll say minor.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions.
All right, Joe. Enjoy the weekend.
We had a wonderful time. Let's leave him with Ron. He requested that. City Limits, it's the least we can do.
Goodbye, Ray.
Goodbye, Ray. That's an infectious laugh, isn't it?
It makes you want to laugh and smile. I don't think I've ever listened to the Ron laugh and not smiled.
I can't remember why that happened. What was Ron laughing at?
There's been a couple instances where Ron laughed like that.
Yeah.
Like before in the studio.
And clearly I was there for it, right?
Yeah,
may have even
once.
Caused it.
Maybe only he once was, when I was here.
Yeah, maybe he was just blatantly laughing at me. I don't know.
Possible.
But it was unforgettable. Rowdy Tellez coming up in the next hour. This is going to be fun talking to Rowdy, who's having an incredible month of June. Who do we have at noon? Oh my God, it's Bechtold's Breakdown.
Yes.
We're going to do that coming up.
Bob Walk at 1.
And Bob Walk at 1. And we're efforting Tony Rasiopi and the whole Kenny Pickett thing. That's actually what I wanted to get to next. This is Kenny's longtime quarterbacks coach. And he came out, he piped up either earlier this week or last week about this whole situation. I'll tell you what he said and a little reaction to it. And who knows? If he returns the text from City Limits, he may even join us. Wouldn't that be spicy, huh?
Anything is possible.
Kevin Garnett said that once when they won a title. Remember that?
Yeah, and it was replicated by, Jason Tatum.
Hey, did he really do that?
Well, he did the same exact thing, except, we did it! Have you ever seen the video of Jason Tatum, all the cringe moments, the celebration moments that he made after winning the finals?
No.
He copied Kobe's pose. Kevin Garnett, what he said afterwards, like the same way he went about it, verbatim, except just change the words.
Why are those cringe moments, though?
Because it's like he looked in the mirror and studied what Steph Curry said, what Kobe did, and the mannerisms of Kevin Garnett after he won, and completely repeated everything. He repeated what Kanye West said, like, they asked what I would do if I didn't win. Well, I guess we'll never know. He said the same exact thing in the locker room.
I kind of like that, actually.
There was a compilation of everything.
How about Blake Hinson going to the Lakers?
That's coming up in the breakdown.
Is it now?
Great radio tease.
Then I'll reserve my opinion. I'll just say this. Man, if you can shoot, there's a spot for you in the NBA. I think Mulsey had a good point. If you could take Bronny's athleticism and put it in Blake Hinson's body, you would have a lottery pick. All right.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Some developments in my Sewickley parking ticket fiasco. Dan Eaton works at Mambo Italia in Sewickley, says they'd like to take care of the ticket for me. And Zach Huff, no relation to Charlie, says, call the number on the ticket, tell them what happened, and they usually get rid of it. I did that when there was an error. So the last chapter has limits. Who are you talking to?
Pony.
This is unbelievable. You just engage in random conversations. It's just me and you today. You're actually on a show with me today. Paul's not here.
And I love it. I'm enjoying it very much.
What did he want?
Well, he came in to talk about the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, are you participating?
I don't think I have a choice. They set the line, though, for me. Somebody, Pony's source, at 2.5 hot dogs.
You allowed to substitute wiener schnitzel?
No, I don't think so.
No? All right.
2.5 hot dogs. I think I should easily be able to eat 3. I ate 3 dollar dogs at the Pirate game a couple weeks ago.
The idea of this is so utterly grotesque.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
What are the rules? You eat the hot dog with a bun every time?
Yeah, with the bun, however many you can eat in 10 minutes.
Has to be a bun on every one?
I think so, yeah.
That's disgusting. That's
what they do in the eating contest. Like, I think the hot dog eating contest that Joey Chestnut and them do every year, it's disgusting. Like,
I know, and people are favoring.
I don't like watching that. Yeah, I watch it anyway.
Right. But, we do? I don't.
I watch it anyway, even though I think it's disgusting.
They're favoring Callis.
They are, yeah.
Because he's big boned, and that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to win. Look at Joey Chestnut. It's all about technique and willingness. I don't think it's about how big you are.
And Callis ate 4 hot dogs this morning. That Mulsey bought for him.
If he is the favorite, I'm not going to deny that.
He wanted to do a little trial run.
He ate 4?
4 hot dogs.
In how many minutes?
Undisclosed amount of time.
What did Pony want from you? A confirmation on your participation?
Yeah, that, and he wants to see if I feel any better about it.
Callis is the favorite. Who else is in it?
Donnie Football, Sean Myers, Joel Nelson,
mm-hmm.
T-Bird. Is supposedly in it, our friend T-Bird.
What?
Yeah,
T-Bird who used to work here?
No, the new T-Bird.
There's a new T-Bird?
New T-Bird, yeah. Tom, T-Bird.
I don't know who you mean. I'll tell you what.
He was at the marathon. He was the producer.
Oh, that guy. T-Bird, the bassist.
Yes, that guy.
I've seen T-Bird go to work the day that he was at Montour, at the Myron Cope Foge Fazio Classic there.
Yeah.
He was having more blowouts than the 07 Patriots. But the moral of that story is he was willing to eat a lot of whatever he was eating the night before. He's a dark horse here.
Very underrated.
Yeah.
Could we see, I think Charlie Borges might be in it.
Nelly, yeah.
Could IT be a part of this?
Trent? IT? How many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes? Tell me right now.
Probably only 3. Maybe 4.
You think 4 gets you in the finalist round?
I think 4 gets you decently far.
What's the winning number?
8.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 7.
That's really going to be
enough. The line on Callis is 13.5.
That's going to be a very unhappy scene. Where is this taking place?
The theater. The Bowser Theater.
When?
On Wednesday next week. And it's going to be broadcast live on Pony and Mueller. There's a promo and everything for it.
Tony Rasiopi is Kenny Pickett's longtime quarterback coach. We've had him on this show before. And he talked about last week somewhere, I think it was with New Jersey Advanced Media. Maybe it was this week. I don't know. I just saw it. He would say the majority, I would say the majority of those narratives about Pickett were pushed by people, and they are 100% BS. I would put his leadership ability against anybody out there. I will always believe in that kid. He has it. He has it physically. He has it mentally. He's tough. He's smart. There's this work ethic to him. He has the talent and the abilities. He has what you want. So much of that league is the right place, right time, wrong place, wrong time. There's so many cases that point to that. Let's analyze this for a moment, shall we, City Limits? At some point, Mike Tomlin realized that Kenny Pickett isn't good enough and the rest of it doesn't matter. He may have turned on Pickett because of what happened or what is alleged to have happened when they went out to Seattle, whether Pickett wanted to dress at all or as a third quarterback. I don't know. He could refuse to show up for practice for a week, and if he was really good, that wouldn't matter. At some point, Mike Tomlin determined that Kenny Pickett is not the guy and nothing else matters. That's where I stand on this issue. You could do anything you want if you are the guy and Tomlin deems you the long-term guy. Nothing he ever did would have mattered. Nothing. So I'm not sure exactly what happened in the Seattle situation. It seems some teammates certainly turned on Pickett because at one time he was the guy that had all the intangibles, what Tony Rasiopi's talking about here, the leadership, the it factor. It seemed like the real questions around Pickett were, did he have the tangibles? He certainly had the intangibles. Well, maybe he had neither by the end here, but the fact of the matter is he was deemed not the guy, not good enough. And maybe that was just an excuse then to get rid of him. The fact of the matter is that when it came time for the Steelers to play their biggest games of the season, all Mason Rudolph had to do was have a good showing against a broken Bengals team to rip the job away from Kenny Pickett. So by that point, Tomlin had already made up his mind. To me, that's the story in the end. And Tony Rasiopi can say all he wants about how great he thinks Pickett is. Maybe someday he'll be proven right. I doubt it. I was fooled by Pickett. Ben Roethlisberger was fooled by Pickett. I thought he was going to take a major leap last season. I remember Ben on his podcast said, man, I didn't think Pickett was this good. This was in Pickett's, I believe, the end of his first year. He said, I didn't think he was going to be this. He's good. That's what Ben said. I'm paraphrasing it. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, Joe, I think we got blinded by three or four different things. One being that Pickett's career at Pitt, he started it off with a freshman year upset of number two Miami, and Pitt has the next guy at quarterback. Finally, a big time quarterback back at Pitt, and he had a couple of really average years. But he used that extra year where he came back, Peyton Manning's quarterback camp helped him out, and he became what he became, a 20th overall pick, a guy that some mocked to go 6th overall to Carolina in a draft that had no quarterbacks. And the big flare in discussion at the time was the Steelers need a quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger is gone, who can be the guy to take over? And Pickett was the option because he was the only option in that draft. And there wasn't anybody really available on the free agent market or the trade market that was appealing or was a reasonable potential guy that the Steelers could have at quarterback.
So they reached is your point.
They reached.
Yeah.
But
you know what? Stuff happened that we all saw with our own two eyes. Like the comeback against the Ravens at the end of year one was a real thing against a good team. A real defense.
He's a good NFL backup, but the fake slide fooled us. The Christmas Day drive to George Pickens fooled us. The win against the Ravens with a backup quarterback in Baltimore to help push them towards the playoffs fooled us. It happens. It's the harsh reality of it, but I mean, we were tricked into thinking that he could be a franchise quarterback, when in reality, he's just an average guy that can't put you over the top with not a good enough arm and just a little bit of speed and the intangibles or tangibles, whatever.
He doesn't have enough of either,
you
perhaps.
You can't compare him to any of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league in terms of how they're built.
And I thought he was going to vault near that top 10 or into it last year.
I thought he was going to be a top 15 guy.
And so did Ben, where at least Ben thought he was good. He was better than Ben thought. So I'll leave that there with, I think he may know something about quarterbacking, right? So who knows, man? Jalen Hurts twists an ankle. Maybe Kenny Pickett proves us all wrong and proves Tony Rasiopi right. But I don't think so. I don't think so. However, Pickett profiling as a backup, I wouldn't mind that. He does have a history of, you know, some dramatic late game. I could see him coming into a game and winning a game for them or two as a backup. That's what he should be, right?
I could see it. I mean, he's really, when it boils down to it, I still think that he is better than Mason Rudolph, but Rudolph was the hot quarterback and all the circumstances that were around Pickett. He can win a couple games as a backup.
Here's a question. Are you still out there rooting for Kenny Pickett? Are you rooting for him? At 412-928-9370. That thought just struck me. I mean, this dude was, is the term legend too big at Pitt? He was a hero at Pitt.
Yeah, hero
that,
counts.
That fake slide and the run to the Heisman and the fact that for the first time in my lifetime, in Pittsburgh anyway, and I got here in November of 89, for the first time, Pitt was truly, truly on a national stage as a team. They've had players do it. Larry Fitzgerald and others, Aaron Donald. You had Pitt fans waving Pitt flags on broadcast television. I don't remember if the game was NBC, ABC, whatever it was, after that bowl win against Wake Forest, and you had Kenny Pickett deliver an iconic play. He put Pitt back on the map. He was borderline legendary at Pitt. He was. And was a very likable character, and in some ways, maybe still is to a lot of people. Do you hope he does well?
Time heals all wounds. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
What's the wound that he inflicted upon
you?
Well,
the situation with Seattle did not, I just was rubbed the wrong way about that.
Yeah, I hear that.
Where did he want to play? Did he not want to play? Did he want to be the backup? Whatever. It seemed like just as the season continued to go on and on and on, Kenny Pickett was a disgruntled employee.
And a hostage.
It seemed like he was the hostage, not the volunteer. And that rubbed me the wrong way a little bit.
Man,
he didn't seem like a franchise guy, just the way that he was going about it.
I hear that. The fall from grace, again, in nearly 40 years here, 35 years in this city, there haven't been too many.
It was rapid, too.
Too many. You know, some maybe with outside issues, like off-the-field issues and things like that, you know, getting arrested or whatever. I've seen that happen. But in terms of the Kenny Pickett story, it was like a fairy tale. Here's a guy who leads Pitt sort of back to the promised land, back to prominence anyway, delivers that unbelievably iconic play, incredibly goes to the team in the first round. You remember by that day, there was, quote, zero chance, according to a lot of people, that the Steelers were going to take Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett gets drafted by the Steelers. It'd be one thing if he just sort of flamed out, but there was so much controversy around him by the time he left. I'm just curious to get a gauge from the public on this. Like, has everybody completely turned to the point where you hope he fails in Philly? Like, is he a figure that just unlikable? To go from hero status to unlikable? To you root against him? I'd be very curious about that. At 928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. High of 87 today with sunny skies. You're watching a game on some random Sunday or Thursday night or whatever, and Jalen Hurts twists an ankle. I think instinctually people will root for Kenny Pickett around here, even if they claim that they won't. That's what I think. I think you're one of them. I think you're one of them, Limits. I think when you actually see it on the field, you're going to be rooting for little old Kenny Pickett to succeed. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge Pitt fan. Like, I do like Pitt. I root for Pitt. I hope that they succeed. I know a lot of diehard Pitt fans will probably act that way. But if you're just a Steeler fan and an observer of football, I think you probably have either a negative or a neutral opinion of Pickett at this point. Like,
give me a couple of calls. Let's see.
Let's go to Rich.
What's up, Rich?
Hey, great show. Yeah, Kenny Pickett. He was way overrated when they got him. He thought too much of himself, and it was one of the happiest days of my life when I seen him leave town. I never liked the guy.
Here's the thing.
I'm serious.
If I could characterize it this way, he went from being considered Mr. Humble, Mr. Intangible, local Pitt hero, to arrogant, quitting pariah by the time he left. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable what happened here. So,
Perfect description.
Well, I don't know that it's accurate. It may be. It may be. But I've never seen somebody's reputation in this town change that rapidly from one extreme to the other. I mean, it's absolutely incredulent.
Yes.
You know what that word means?
Yeah, I hear it a lot on your show. I like the word.
Thank you, sir. Who's next?
Let's go to a good pal of the show, Rob in West Mifflin.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, buddy? You're the best, man. You are, man. You're City Limits, man. It might as well be the Joe Starkey and City Limits show, man. You know what I mean?
Well, then we'd be insulting to Paul. Paul's not here today.
Paul's a crybaby, man. What are we talking about here? Like, what are we talking about? I'm tired of hearing that, man. You know what the topic is, Paul.
Your ass in the gutter with nothing. I'm leaving your ass in the gutter with nothing.
Yeah, but Joe, he gave up on himself, man. Like, and you didn't have enough heart to stay here and back up a 5-6-year-old quarterback. Like, I don't know. Maybe his agent is saying what he's supposed to say. But Kenny Pickett gave up on himself, man. Everything. He all lined it up. Even the press conference. I didn't learn anything when Rudolph was on. You could have, just lie.
That really hurt him, too. Again, we agree, Rob. If he was great here, you know, he could have gone out and robbed banks and nobody would have given a crap. But he wasn't. He wasn't good enough to be given any leeway on any slip-ups like that, where you ask him, what'd you learn? When nothing, you know, that's when in many ways publicly is when it started to go from here's a humble guy to wow, this kid's arrogant. I think in a lot of people's minds, whether it's accurate or not, perception becomes reality in those situations. And he came off as unbelievably arrogant there.
Yeah. And then he had all chances in the world. Like you jumped right over Rudolph. You had all the chances in the world to prove yourself, man. And this guy goes out there with the same playbook. They probably moved around a few things here and there. The same playbook, went on a little run and got us in the playoffs. So he put the nail in the coffin on his own. So his agent can say what he wants to say. I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh. I'll never root for him again. I'm sorry. Never. Never, ever.
That's pretty, I know.
We actually shoot back a little bit. Now we're the playground bully. Get a life. Yeah,
what are we talking about here? Oh, some guy just won $50. Some idiot, some jag off.
Thank you, Rob.
Have a good one.
That guy is a legend. Imagine him and Paul on a show.
War. WAR. War.
So it would be.
Oh, man. What he just said. I mean, this is just, maybe I'm late to the party here, but the reality of this just hit me today. You know how when things happen in life and you don't actually feel the brunt of it or what it really was about until at a random point, weeks or months later? Do you know what I mean, City Limits?
That's happened to me a couple times, yeah.
It's happened to me with the growing up of my kid. You know, it's like all of a sudden it'll hit me like a ton of bricks. She's not home tonight. She's out with her friends. She doesn't want to do stuff with dad anymore.
That gets me with the growing up of just me growing up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was in college a year ago, maybe over a year ago. And now I like, it just eeks me that I'm not anymore.
So here I am, perhaps fueled by the Tanzanian coffee beans from the press house in Sewickley. And it just hit me. the depths of this Kenny Pickett transformation in people's minds, how far this plummeted. You've got people saying, I'll never root for that guy again. What happened? What happened here? How did he go from local all-time Pitt hero, Mr. Humble, Mr. Intangible, to no intangibles, Mr. Cocky, Mr. Quitter, quit his way out of town, and now nobody likes him?
That's the answer. No, the intangibles weren't really there. He wasn't as humble as everybody thought. I don't think he's a bad guy.
I mean, are we overdoing it here? Have we overcorrected the other way?
I think
we want him to fail?
It might have been completely overdone with Canada. I don't think it's overdone with Pickett. Like Canada, we might have, you know, hammered that nail in a little bit too far into the wood. But in terms of Pickett, people expect you to produce. He was hyped up as the next franchise quarterback and the greatest thing. And it's just the rapidness of the failure and the way that he went about it.
Is there any more calls limits?
The phone lines are completely jammed, yeah.
Now, I feel bad because Bechtold's breakdown was supposed to be next, but I'm very curious about this. What if we did 10 minutes of calls?
Uh-huh.
When is Rowdy coming on?
Between 12:30 and 12:45. So 12:35 is when it should be.
Why don't we do a couple of minutes of calls? Because I think we've hit upon a hot topic. And like I said, it literally just hit me this morning.
Right.
And even more as I talk out loud here. I've never seen anything like this in this town with this poor guy.
Let's do it.
Or maybe not poor guy. I don't know. And then we'll get to Bechtold's breakdown, and then we'll get to Rowdy. Are you willing to do that?
I will adjust for the show, yes. We will do it for the betterment.
This is like if you suddenly became this mean and angry pariah in town. Like right now, you're a very likable, very innocent man who's doing a show on the radio. People love you. It would be like if you came in next week, and instead of being regarded as a very likable human hummingbird, I like to call you, if you came in as some like angry, raving Skip Bayless character, like that would be the equivalent of this Kenny Pickett transformation. I can't believe that this has happened.
Yeah, Oscar the Grouch with scissor hands and throwing
right.
things and
right.
bad attitude.
Or if you came in like Zeiss next, like if you and him switch personalities like a 93.7 The Fan version of Freaky Friday. You came in as Zeiss on Monday. He came in as you, sitting back there talking about, you know.
I don't think that would be that bad of a thing.
I mean, seriously, I'm being dead serious that the whole Pickett, the magnitude of the Pickett plummet finally hit me today. It finally hit me today. And Rob from West Mifflin really just drove it home. I can't believe this. What has happened here? Let's talk about it a little more. We'll get into Bechtold's breakdown next. And of course, we're going to have Rowdy Tellez live on the air.